It's not the good news about a religion, it's the good news of a person, and the person is Jesus. And it's good news because he came to this earth, that God came down, heaven came and invaded earth to rescue us, to save us. That's why he's called Savior, and it's good news. And when you think about the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension into heaven 2,000 years ago, that eternal life is now available to anyone who calls on his name, it's only good news. There's really, in that grand sense, there's nothing bad about the news. It's beautiful, it's good, it brings peace, it brings life. There's hope in that news. But in spite of that beauty and the glory and the love that's found in that message, the message is the single greatest, most hated message in the last 2,000 years. People hate that message. I hated it for a long time. I hated it because it pointed out I needed God and I wasn't right with God. And I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to be right on my own without God's help. Ever since Christ himself suffered and died and rose again, his followers, starting with the apostles, have been willing to suffer. Not necessarily seeking suffering, but willing to suffer for the proclamation of this great news, this good news. A couple days ago, I watched, it was online on a website by a ministry called Voice of the Martyrs, and they interviewed this man from Nigeria a few years back, not many years, a couple of years. He had had some people break into his home. I think it was might have been some radical Muslims. They broke into his home and they asked him if he was a Christian, and he said yes, and he wouldn't deny it. And after some amount of arguing with him and yelling at him, they ended up shooting him in the face. They put a bullet to his nose and blew out the side of his face. His jawbone and part of his whole side of his face was blown out. Miraculously, he lived after laying there for 9 hours bleeding. But they interviewed him. Now he's partially healed up. But the love that he had for those who exhibited such violence was, I didn't even know what to say. I was stunned at the love that he had for these people. He had no animosity. He forgave them. He hoped and prayed that they too would find Christ like he has. And I watched that and I just thought, how can that be? When you're a victim of such hatred and such violence, how could you come out on the other side with such love and such concern for those who hate you? That is the outcome of the message of the gospel. Hebrews 13, verse 3, is a command to us, not just a nice idea, it's a command. And it says, remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We're commanded to remember those today, I don't know these people directly, and that's what makes this verse seem a little bit distant. You know, like, well, yeah, those are people on the other side of the world, but I'm commanded to do this, and honestly, I have to confess, I've not paid a lot of attention to this verse, but I repent. And this morning, we're going to focus on this. This is International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church, those who are suffering for the name of Jesus all over the world, whether it's in this country or certainly we know of many stories around the world. And so this morning is a little unusual. During this normal time, we'd have a sermon, but we're going to do something a bit unusual. We're going to pray together off and on. Pastor Guang and I will share some things, and then we'll invite you to pray in some small groups, let's say five or seven. And if you're new to Stonebrook and not familiar with all that and don't know anyone, that's okay. Please don't feel uncomfortable. Just do whatever you're comfortable with. But at least listen in on what we need to pray for. And we'll give you some things to pray for believers around the world in various countries. And our goal this morning, or let me give an overview first. What we want to do is we're going to watch a video that Paul mentioned. And then Guang and I will share some things. We'll ask you to break into groups and we'll kind of back and forth on sharing and prayer. And then again, if you're new, just don't worry about it. Please just relax and enjoy the morning. But our goal here is certainly to pray and to support people around the world who are suffering for Jesus. But it's also to increase, that God's Spirit would increase our heart and our compassion for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing, not seeking it out. They're not looking for trouble, but they're willing to endure it for the sake of their Savior who died for them. And so why don't I pray, and then I'll introduce our video. Lord, for me at least, stories that I hear about seem so distant. They're out there. They're thousands of miles away. And yet we know they're real. Grant us, among other things this morning, a heart of compassion, a heart of care, that we would do our part. Maybe it's only small, but we would do our part to bear the burden of our brothers and sisters, young and old, scattered around the globe, who are bringing you great glory by bringing the love of Christ to people, some who receive it, but some who hate it. May we support them. May we pray in faith this morning for them. Help us this morning not to remain unmoved, and inspire us from their faith and their love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this video put out by the Ministry Voice of the Martyrs is well done, but it's based on a true story of a woman in Syria who she and her husband had a chance to leave the country as the Islamic State was moving in with all its violence, but they chose to remain there knowing it could cost them dearly. But they did it for the sake of their God, for the sake of the gospel going out, and for the sake of their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who also remained. And so it's a pretty gripping story about her prayers to God and the difficult choices that she and her husband had to make. So we'll watch this, and Guang will come up.
We were praying for revival, believing God would do a big work in Syria. Then the war came. Now the terrorists are attacking Christian homes, churches, and even our children. Their goal is to empty Syria of its Christians. We hate the spirit of Islam that is destroying our country. But we love our Muslim neighbors. They come to us and say, "In the name of our God, terrorists rape and kill. Where is God?" We tell them about Jesus, and many are coming to know him. Still others say, "We are like living in hell." One day, while I was praying, I asked God what he would have me do to be his witness. But he only asked me, "Will you give me your life?" As I prayed, I understood he wanted all of me. And I said yes. If the time came, I was willing to die for Jesus. The next day, while I was praying, I asked God again what he would have me do. This time, he asked me, "Are you willing to give me your husband's life? It is not easy to be ready to die." My husband and I prayed about this together. We said yes to God. The third day was the most difficult. On this day, God asked me if I was willing to give up my children's lives. The terrorists know who we are and that we share Jesus with Muslims. It is not safe for our family. My husband and I prayed and fasted, and together we agreed. God gave us our precious children. He has the freedom to take them back. When we agreed to put our children on the altar, I knew I had to tell them the truth. I told them that it was possible that men with swords may come through our door, men who didn't know Jesus. They may say bad things to us and try to force us to convert to Islam. But no matter what they say, we should not answer them.
Swear to Allah,
We should only tell them that Jesus loves them and that we forgive them. I told them that we might see some blood and have some pain, but it would only be for a little while. That we should just close our eyes, and when we open them, we will be with Jesus. Am I a good mother to have to tell my children such things? I also told them that as long as God wants us to be safe, we will be safe, that He is in control. Even during the bloodshed, during the killing, He is carrying our future. This is what it means to be a Christian in Syria.
Morning. What a touching video. So how do we see and process this? How do we respond to this? I think it's good for us to go to the scripture. You know, this morning a word in my mind is the word reality. What is going on? What is the reality? The invisible reality. You know, the things going on in the spiritual realm. Let's go to Revelation 12:17. So here it says, then the dragon, which is the Satan, then the dragon, he was just thrown down to the earth and he became furious with the woman. And he went out to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commands of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. We are in war. That's the truth. And Satan, he is furious to God's children. That's us. He's making war on us. And his desire is to disable us. You know, either through fear, you know, through imprisonment, sufferings, or even death. And to the others, he used a more subtle scheme. You know, using a hypnotizing comfort or the lure of wealth. We are in this war. And the second thing I see is, from the scripture, is we are called to suffer for the gospel. We're not just called when we believe in Jesus. We're not just called to go to heaven someday. We are called to suffer for the gospel. Paul, in his letter to the Timothy, he said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God. And again later on he said, you know, join with me. Suffer for the gospel as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We are in this war. And thirdly, I see from the scripture, you know, this verse from Hebrews. Yes, he says, for we are also in the body. You know, there are two sides. One is the body of Christ. One is Satan, his angels. We are having this war together. We are part of this war. And there are two things I see that's very important for us to do. One is we are commanded to remember those who are in prison, to remember and to pray for them, and to provide support for them, to remember them. And second is for us, I think here this word says we were to be as if in prison with them. We ought to live differently. It is not right if our brothers, we are in this war and they are fighting the war with their lives while we go about oblivious of the war, of what's going on. It's just not right. So this morning we will just break into groups and pray for to remember them. And I think it's right for us also to pray for ourselves. That we will stay alert. We will stay awake. That we will not be attached to the comfort. And that we will contend for the gospel. Even in Ames, in Iowa, in where we are in this war together. So how about right now we break into small groups, 5, 6, 7, just wherever you are comfortable. Let's just spend a few minutes to pray. And then I will come up. Then we can have another thought to share with you. Let's pray. We remembered our brothers and sisters around the world. Lord, just pray, Lord, you will protect them. You will encourage them. You will sustain them. Protect their family. Lord, also protect. I also pray for us, Lord, that I pray you will use this to, Lord, to awake us, Lord, to help us be mindful of what's going on, to be alert, Lord, help us to contend for the gospel here, Lord, in Ames, in Jesus' name. Another thought I have, is, since we are in war, it is expected, because we are in, the reality is, we see the reality, the invisible reality we are surrounded by, we are in war. And it is expected that all of us will suffer to some extent, and some of us may even die for Christ Jesus. And Revelation 12 also says, it says the saints, about the saints. The saints, says the saints, they conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. That's how they conquered Satan. And for they love not their lives, even unto death. That's how the war will be won. And thirdly, I think death in light of the eternity, in light of reality, life is not as depressing, as sad as we tend to think. It says in Psalms, precious in the sight of the Lord, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. For those who stand on their ground for the name of Jesus, God is well pleased. As I watched this video, I think you probably agree with me. You probably feel somehow in the same way. I'm deeply convicted. The word in Hebrews 13:3, remember those who are in prison. I did not remember them as much as I could, as I should. And I certainly did not remember them as though in prison with them. I'm falling short on this. I'm convicted. And I did not contend for the gospel. They were contending for the gospel with their lives. But I'm not doing that here. But I know that I ought to, even here in Ames, to contend for the gospel. Let me read you another story. I got this from a book called Safely Home by Randy Alcorn. Safely Home, a very, very good book. Strongly recommend. And so in this book, he mentioned about a family. And Graham Staines, he left his home in Australia to serve lepers in India for 34 years. So on this day, this was happened about 15 years ago in 1999. So this he has served 34 years, and with his two sons, as 10 and 6. So he was holding his sons probably in his arms, and one is 10 years old, like my son Isaac's age, another 6, like my son Micah's age. He was holding them in his arms, and they were burned to death by a mob in India. And they were murdered because the one they loved and served, because of the gospel. His wife, who continued the ministry, said to all India, "I'm not bitter or angry. I have one great desire, that every citizen in this country will establish a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who gave his life for their sins." That's his wife said. And his daughter, then 13, said, "I praise the Lord, he found my father worthy to die for him." We are in this war together. And my prayers for ourselves is that we will stake. We need to know, to be aware, to be alert that we are in this war. And to contend for the gospel with boldness, even here in Ames, where we are where we are. Otherwise, we will be, it is we who will be more pitied in the end when we stand before God, before the throne of God. Not the suffering Syrians, the Liana and the families. It will be us if we do not do so. So how about let's again break into smaller groups, 5, 6, 7, or smaller groups of size 5, 6, 7. Let's pray for another 5, 6 minutes.
Lord, we ask that you would change us here at Stonebrook to be people who follow in the footsteps of so many godly men and women who love you, who love people. They're exemplary to me. They inspire me and convict me just by their lives. And I pray that you would change us just one day at a time, but change us. Show us how you want us to live for you. We don't have to seek after trouble, but we don't want to shy away from it for your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple days ago, I listened to an online interview with interviewing two young women who had been in Iran. I think they might have got booted out of the country. I don't know the whole story yet. They were in Tehran, the city of Tehran, and they had been, for about 3 years, been illegally distributing Bibles, 20,000 Bibles in 3 years, anywhere they went, in the marketplace, people they ran into, just giving away Bibles and talking about Christ. And they found, overall, the Muslims they ran into were very receptive, very open, tired of the guilt and the shame that their faith brought to them, and they're looking for life and peace, and many were finding it through Christ. Well, eventually these two women got found out, and they got thrown into prison, interrogated. And I was just blown away with this story, their heart, their love for people, their love for their persecutors, sharing their faith with those who were being brutal to them. And by the way, you can order that book online at Voice of the Martyrs website, but I just did, so haven't got it yet. But I was just challenged, what is it about the gospel that causes people with such joy to endure suffering like that? Their love is just, I didn't even know what to say when I heard their story. I thought they're just from another planet, because I can't even imagine having that kind of joy and heart. Even though they were like us, they had a lot of fears and things, they were very open about their lives. But it's a challenge, and it's inspiring, and that's going on around the world. Their stories just from a few years ago. These are all recent stories. And so let's pray again just for a couple minutes this time, and then I'll come back up, and we'll close off for morning, then we'll break bread here in a few minutes after that. So let's again just pray for probably just 2 or 3 minutes, a shorter one this time. And we've got some other things. Things are going on in Africa too. Some hot places there, hot for persecution. And so, in Nigeria and Sudan and other places. And let's pray they'll rejoice in their suffering, be refreshed through God's word, and grow in their faith, be strengthened through the prayers of us and others, and pray that we will be convinced of that same truth as they are. Let's do that. So go ahead and get into groups again and pray for a few minutes. Show us how we can join with our brothers and sisters, and they are our family. We have one Father. Show us how we can join with them, help them carry their load as we proclaim the great name of Jesus. Amen. Let me wrap things up here. In your bulletin, there's a handout. Why don't you pull this out? It's the one that says, there's two of them in there. One's more of a kind of a news update, but the one that says praying for the persecuted family. And there's some practical things you can do, as well as some prayer, some things you can pray for. And in the back, there's some, if you want to study the topic, it's inspiring, just straight from the scriptures. I think one is pray that God would change our hearts, that we would just grow in compassion. And I think one way to do that is to be informed. For me, if it's just a little news item and I don't know any names or faces, I don't know people, it's much harder to really have that sense of compassion. But if you get online, like on persecution.com is one, there's multiple sites, but that's one good one, the Ministry Voice of the Martyrs. And you can read some personal stories. You can hear, you can see them in a video, and you can get a better idea of what's going on. And I think God will use that. His Spirit will stir up in us a heart of compassion, as well as inspire us to do what they're doing and to follow in their footsteps. There's things you can do there. You can donate finances. You can write letters to them, to those who are in prison. You can write letters to the governments of those who are oppressing them. Send emails. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can send they don't call them care packages, but it's kind of like I think it's called an action pack or something like that. There's lots of things you can do. Just get online. You can order books. You can order materials. I would recommend one. It's a fairly thick book. It's called Voices of the Martyr. Of the Martyrs. And it's written, it's based on John Fox's book from, I think, the 1500s. He wrote Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's a fabulous book. I've read it through myself. My wife and I have read some of the stories. Most of the stories are only a page or two. Very inspiring, very encouraging, very humbling. And it'll just be good for your life, period. But also it will stir up your heart to know what has been happening over the centuries in the last 2,000 years. So anyway, just be informed, take some action. We can't do everything, but we can do something. And what does God have for you, for us together? So we're going to break bread now, and so we're going to change pace, and the band members can come on up. I want to read one passage here as they're coming up that will lead us into time. Breaking of bread is a time to remember what Christ has done, to remember the gospel, to remember how Christ descended onto this earth. He suffered, he died, he rose again, he ascended, and he's coming back again. And Jesus told us to do this in remembrance of him until he comes. So when he comes back, we won't be doing this anymore because he'll be here. Well, let's read the first three verses to start in Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. This is the part of the good news that we don't like, because it's really bad news. It's telling us that we were sinners. We were following the ways of the world. We were following the ways of Satan. We were following our own flesh. And what it brought us to was a place of being children of wrath, where God's wrath was against us. And we rebel. And it shows our sinfulness and how much we hate this message. But we go on to the next half. The solution to all this is verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This is the good news, and Jesus commanded us to remember him. Remember, you were dead, but now through faith in him, you are alive forevermore. Remember him. So the ushers will come up in a minute, and you can take some bread and some of the fruit of the vine, the grape juice, and just take it and hold it. And I'll come back up here after this first song, and we'll partake of it together as we remember the body he broke and the blood that he shed on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord, we want to celebrate you and remember you. It's kind of like we're celebrating something gruesome. We're celebrating a death, but that's not all. We're celebrating life, that you rose from the dead. As we take this simple symbolic act together, help us, God, impact our hearts that we would remember and not forget, that we would be aware and alert and be gripped with the rich mercy and the great love of our God. In Jesus' name, amen.